Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. And boy, we're going to learn more today. We've got somebody, very interesting story, lots of different aspects of it. It's one of the consultants at the Digital Marketing Center here for the Small Business Development Centers in the Orange County Inland Empire area. Welcome, if you will, Alicia Brayboy. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. This is pretty cool.
Alicia called me 10 times. What are we going to talk about? How are we going to talk about it? We're just going to talk. That's all we're going to do.
It was more like 100. Come on.
We're just going to talk because you've got an interesting story. Let's dive into it right away. Part of this podcast is just to meet the people who work at all these various SBDC centers. There's a wide variety of backgrounds, experience, and talent available. I think we have 100 plus consultants available through the network here at all the different centers. And yours is, again, a story that we haven't heard much of, marketing, social media background, all that kind of stuff. So take us back, Alicia Brayboy, New York girl. You were from New York, right? How the heck do you go? What'd you do in New York and why'd you come to California?
I was born in New York. I spent half my life in New York. Then I moved to Northern California, and then I went to Boston for school.
Okay. Were you always interested in marketing? Was this something you were drawn to or studied or whatever, or you just fell into it?
So I wanted to be a lawyer. When I was going to college, I was faced with, do I want to go the law route? I was going to go to school for philosophy. And then last
philosophy,
minute,
there's a very useful degree here.
I know,
what's
right?
The meaning of life?
Right. I put my hat on, my marketing hat on, and I was like, is philosophy or do I want to do something creative? So then I was like, okay, how can I do something creative, but still, I was thinking it like this as a high schooler. I was like, how can I do something creative, but still be viable in this job market when I graduate? So I was like, okay, marketing. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to go to BU because it has a top communication school in the country. So okay. I'm going to go there. And then I got in and I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to do marketing and advertising. So I switched it last minute, actually. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have been a lawyer right now.
All right. So marketing came out. You go to the big city, the Big Apple, where you're from. And what?
Yeah.
You start doing, working for companies or working for yourself or working for startups. So give us some idea what that looks like.
Even when I had to pay my way through college, so I was working like full time. I was actually working full time internships at like tech companies even in college. So when I graduated, I kind of stayed in tech marketing, and I worked my way up pretty quickly, actually.
Because it's the tech world. There isn't anybody over 30 in the whole business here. Right?
There were like a ton of responsibilities. You just, you know, there were a lot of changes because, again, startup world. And then there was a whole like shift and everything. We brought in some new marketing people, new management. They were trying to sell the company.
Of course, it's tech. The companies only last a couple of years, and somebody sells them, and they buy them, and they change it all over.
So I ended up working for a few other tech companies, and then I found like the agency world. And then I started working in like agencies, and I really liked that side of things.
Working for lots of clients, not just
that. I worked at PR agencies. I worked at a growth hacking agency, but a lot of it was like tech startups. And SBDC is like my first time, where it's like so many different industries. Like I never know which client I'm going to get.
Could be a restaurant, could be retail, could be anything.
Yeah,
could be a startup.
Restaurant, mom and pop shop, someone selling hydrogen fuel cells to the government. Like, it's crazy. And I love it so much. At first, I was a little bit intimidated. So I was like, hey, I don't have that background, right? He was like, no, I need your marketing background. Like, I know you know your chops. Let's do this. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, let's do this. I was like, okay, let's do this. And actually, it went really well. I was surprised, actually. I felt like I was speaking calculus every meeting, but I picked it up.
We're going to go backwards a little bit here in a second, but now you got me intrigued. All right, so somebody's making hydrogen cells. They come to the SBDC, Small Business Development Center, and they need some marketing help. So they get referred or come directly to the specific marketing center here in Orange County, of which you're one of several high-profile people that work there. Full disclosure, that's where I work, too. I do my little specialty in podcasts and some other digital media part-time because I have this full-time gig here. But this is more of a full-time gig for you. It's just really, you're kind of all in on this thing. And so somebody says, here's what I do. And you're like, man, I don't know anything about this industry, but I know about digital marketing. And they're like, that's what we need. Because that's the way of the world today here. It's all digital marketing. It's not so much print advertising. It's not billboard advertising. It's not traditional kind of marketing, even PR. I came up with the entertainment PR business. Yeah,
yeah, we do it all. I've worked with clients on like traditional marketing campaigns too. Yeah, because some of them need it. Sometimes digital marketing doesn't work, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to delve into all that here, but you threw out another term that I never heard of before. I guess I sort of heard it, but I'm an old guy and you're a young person practicing in this field here. So you're much more attuned to all the trends that are happening. Growth hacking. You say that so easily. Like there's a growth hacking industry. Hey, mom, I'm going to get a job for a growth hacking industry. Okay, honey, that sounds like a good job. What the heck is growth hacking and why are there even agencies focusing on this?
Well, okay. I think a lot of agencies actually face this problem where they have startups that come to them and they have zero budget. And
especially
so,
tech. I got a great idea, but all the money went into the prototype or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially in tech. And so some agencies hate it because they're like, we can't, no, we need a budget. And some agencies are specifically designed, not necessarily to take clients that can't pay, but to be extremely creative with the money they do have to go a long way, to really stretch that dollar. So it's more about like creative marketing and coming up with viral campaigns or thinking extremely out of the box.
Trying to hack your way into the public consciousness here somehow. Right.
Exactly. How to growth hack. Yes.
How to break in with no money here. Now, I, again, am old enough to remember when I came to California myself seeking my fame and fortune. This was in the 1980s. I don't even know if you were born in that time, but whenever it was in the 1980s, I came here and I got into entertainment marketing and I worked for an entertainment PR firm. We handled Johnny Mathis and the Police and all this other stuff through the years we did projects with them. We worked for a couple agencies and then I got into more corporate stuff. And only reason I'm saying all this is that the world was, there was only three things. You were an ad agency and you had big ad agencies and you had creative directors and you came up with campaigns and copywriters and you had people who knew how to buy ads and to place ads, design, but it was all some sort of either print or radio or TV ad. Mm-hmm. That was something you purchased. And then there was earned media, as it came to be called, the stuff somebody, you didn't pay them to tell your story. You convinced them to tell your story. That's what I did, PR. You got on the evening news. You got on the morning show. You got in the newspaper with an article about, not so much about you, but some trend that you're part of, or maybe there's some interesting story that you're doing. Very rarely about your product or service, more about the people or how you fit into the trends that were happening. That's what I saw most of.
Right.
So, but there were two different worlds. One, you created stuff and you bought it. And the other, you went to somebody like me and they convinced somebody to tell your story. In the old days, they were your press agent. In Hollywood, they convinced somebody to tell your stories and they became public relations people and publicists and all this stuff. So there was kind of just those two areas. And maybe there was somebody else that had to deal with promotions and in-store and events and things and stuff. Most more in-store marketing and stuff, displays and everything. But pretty much there were two worlds and maybe a third world. Now it's all one meshed world. Ad agencies have digital teams on board. They're not just buying ads. They might be creating TikTok or videos or YouTube or something. PR people aren't just trying to tell your story. They might be telling it for you through social media. They might be the ones writing your blog and posting on Instagram and events. Creating events. And then the event people, they're kind of getting brought back in and they're not just separate world that you went and hired somebody to put on a big party for your big corporate event or a trade show or something else or in-store marketing. It used to be very narrow lanes. Now the lanes have all crossed and crazy. And I don't know. There's all these agencies. I don't know what a digital agency is anymore. Is it an ad agency? Are they really just old ad buyers and writing up ads and making mock-ups or creating TV ads? Or are they, what you're doing, somehow campaigning to break through the noise on social media. Social media agencies, digitally, all these agencies, I don't know what they are anymore here. They're a mishmash of everything here. What do you see in this? I guess that's what you have to be to break through the noise these days.
Yeah, I think they don't know what they are either. I don't think anyone knows what they are. And as a marketer, we have to wear so many hats. Even as a marketer at the SBDC, like each consultant, we all have our specialties and I know who to refer to who. But then I still need to make sure I'm on top of all the trends, on top of all the marketing tactics in order to help the businesses that come to us, right? We got to stay sharp.
And you have to measurements. My world, they hired us to tell their story and we got you in the LA Times. We did our job. It wasn't my job to figure out how many eyeballs or wasn't there any ways to measure this stuff. I don't know. The LA Times, go look at their circulation. I got you in Time Magazine. I got you in the Tonight Show.
Right.
Okay. I did my job. Or even if you're an ad agency, they had to watch the old Mad Men series from the 60s and Mad Men.
I love that show.
And they talk about the creative part of it and trying to break through and get the message heard and remembered and people respond to it. Maybe they measured a little. Usually it was the client said my sales went up or they didn't go up. And then they had to pivot and try to do it. But it wasn't their job to measure it. Then along came 80s and 90s and the internet and all this stuff. And we started measuring everything incessantly and constantly. How many impressions, how long, how many likes, how many repeats, how many this and everything else. All this measurement stuff. Do you get into all that stuff too? All the measurement and all this data?
Now we have the tools to do that. Yeah, now we have the tools to measure. I think obviously some things are harder than others. I tell clients all the time, we can run a social media ad, and I love social media ads. If done correctly, it does wonders for your business, right? But I always tell them, you're not going to see stuff right away. A social media ad may not directly correlate to a sale as soon as they see the ad.
And that's the frustration. People want to tweet and have the phone ring. They want to put something on Instagram and have somebody walk into the store. They want to run an ad and instantly see sales thing. And it seems to be more, there isn't just one path. It used to be if you went and bought an ad, you bought a billboard campaign, or you bought an ad on national television, or you bought local ads on cable TV, or you got a story in the local newspaper, you could sort of see an immediate bump because there were only so many channels people are watching. Now they're watching, not endless, but it feels like it's endless. How many different social media platforms? How many different search engines? How many different ways do you get found? How many types of content that you put up just to attract an eyeball and hope that you get seen? So I think it's the whole metric has confused people. It isn't just how many, it's what happened. Famous years ago, I'm sorry, I'm pontificating here, but Johnson & Johnson, you know, the big consumer products company, makes everything. I don't know if they make Tide, but, you know, toothpaste, everything. And they fired their ad agency. They said, we're tired of you just telling us how many people saw this. So what? Mm. What happened? You know, is it better to get a few focused eyeballs? Or are we still just in broadcasting? It's just a sheer numbers game. The more people see it, the better it is. It's not about how many, it's who. Do you ever get into those kind of discussions?
I think there's levels. And going back to the social media ad campaign, so the best campaign, I would say, for a social media ad is you want to start your first touch point is a high-level awareness campaign, similar to the example you were talking about
here
the
I
billboard.
Am. Right.
You want to throw a high net or a wide net of just something that catches their attention.
Right.
And they will funnel themselves because the people who aren't even interested in whatever that high level thing is, they'll just brush by right past it.
Right.
But the people who are interested, they might like it. They might somehow interact with you. They might follow you. And then now you can.
They might share it or something.
Exactly. Right. Then everyone who's interested just from that wide net, you put them in a funnel. Now you can start nurturing them, right? You can start sending them messages. Oh, and then you throw in a little ad, an actual like hard sell ad in there now. Hey, here's this product. Hey, there's in addition to content, we also sell something that helps you, right? Mm-hmm. Then that's when you start seeing the sales because now they trust you.
And what about, do you ever deal with the fun? We did a show on, I had the thing OC Talk Radio, and for years we did a show with the Sales Lead Management Association, a big trade group with Marketo and Eloqua and all these giant companies.
SLMA.
Do create these programs to not just Salesforce, but the millions of other add-ons or standalone things. And some are very pricey and very sophisticated that big companies use. And the idea is once you come into the funnel, then they got to rate you and put you, do I go into this path or this path? And whichever path you go into, there is there is content that follows you. There is a cadence. There is a pattern. They don't just once in a while send you something, there's some thought to it.
Right.
And
right.
until you nurture and move up from a cold lead to a hot lead to a yes. hot prospect, and trying to measure where you're at in that process and then figure out the 27 other messages. How long do we message you? For the next 20 years or for just 2 months and then we give up? You know, all that kind of stuff. Because what statistics do you don't buy in one shot anymore? What do you got? 6, 7, 8
right,
touches?
You don't. If you're going to buy a purse in the store or a shoes, right? Let's make it gender neutral. Buy something on the spot, an impulse buy. Or you might say, if it's an expensive pair of shoes, you might test some other shoes. You might try it on in the store. You might come back, right? Do I really like this brand? Let me look at reviews. It's a whole process.
Testimonials, yeah. right.
Right. And we also do that too at the SBDC. We create a customer journey map. What does the whole right. entire experience look like from when someone first is introduced to your brand or your company all the way through actually buying something? And then after that, how do you retain them? Right?
And that's what I don't think people are ready for. I don't want a journey. I want the yellow pages. I want to run an ad and I put it up. And so many people call, or I run an ad and I see how many people respond, how many I sell, and I decide to do more of that or less of that. But it's a one-to-one ratio. I do something and there's an immediate result and it probably results in a sale. If it doesn't, I start questioning, why am I doing Twitter? Why am I doing Instagram? Why, I got a million followers, but so what? Nobody bought anything yet. So you can get caught up in this one way or the other. I think people are terribly frustrated that there isn't sort of a once and done thing. I want to put an ad in the yellow pages and it sits up there all year and a certain number of people see it and call me and produces leads and I close a certain number of those leads and it's worthwhile. Or my website. Mm-hmm. My website's supposed to be that lead generator. And people come and maybe it even closes them. And in a perfect world, they just order it right online. I don't even have to touch them. The orders just come in.
Right.
Or they just sign up right online here. But more right. and more that world of once and done, one-to-one, I do something that has an immediate sale, an immediate answer. I think that's not happening much anymore here. I know when I buy something, somebody says, I got a great marketing person. Talk to Alicia. Okay. In the old days, I call up and I say, hey, Joe says you're great. Can I hire you? Can we meet? Let's talk. Now, I don't even call you, even though I got a referral.
Right.
Until
you
I go check
up.
You out. I check you
yeah.
out. I sniff
yeah.
around. Let
yeah.
me see your social media. Let me see your yeah. YouTube. Let me listen to her podcast. Let me see your reviews. And if you pass the sniff test, as I call mm-hmm. it, then I call you. And then you got to convince me you really are the person that can help me. Because there's 50,000 other choices out here now. And okay. the old day where somebody just referred me and I called you and you closed me, I'm not saying it's gone, but that's certainly not the works the way it used to be. Is that your experience? Is it harder
yeah.
these days?
I mean, we're talking about earned media, right? You have to earn the follow. You have to earn the buy if you're on social media. I also think that immediate gratification of wanting someone to buy right away, I think that's dangerous because it turns a lot of businesses off from social media.
Right.
I think it's dangerous to not be on social media. I think it's dangerous. I think you're immensely hurting your company by thinking it's too difficult and therefore I'm not going to touch it or even
right.
be on social media.
Right.
You should absolutely nowadays in today's world have some sort of presence as if it were having a website. Like you need to think of it as the same thing nowadays.
And then so yeah. what do you think about, it's kind of the world I do play in, this content marketing. There are many people that think, how do you break the noise? You got to come up with clever content. You got to have a podcast. You got to have a video. You got to have a blog. You got to have something that you're constantly creating to catch attention, to show who you are, what you know, all those kinds of things about you. And then out of that soft sell approach, maybe a certain number of people after a certain time, not the first time, are going to say, you know, I could really use your expertise. And,
yeah.
and they will investigate further and start a conversation. It's a dance. It's a conversation. It's not it's not speed dating anymore here. It's not you go and you sign up.
But you know what? You just said all that and I got overwhelmed, right? I, as a marketing person, got overwhelmed. It's a lot. And as a small
exactly.
business, they're hearing that. They're like, I can't even afford to hire someone to do all that. How am I going to do all that? And so
exactly.
I just say start small. And there's so many tools that people aren't even aware of to automate these things, right?
Right.
You don't have to have right away the podcast, the email campaign, all of that.
Right.
You can just create some posts. You can do bulk create in Canva. You can use ChatGPT to come up with the whole calendar for you, right? We have a smart AI system that we can teach you to automate your social media
posts. Or to write your posts or to create your stories.
And so you can just spend maybe 1-2 hours on a Sunday as opposed to weeks and weeks of creating content. And it makes it so much easier for a small business to keep.
And therein lies the problem, because I have a shoe store. I have a manufacturing company. I make widgets. I don't have time to do all this stuff. And I don't have a budget to have ad agency, a PR firm, you know, in the traditional sense, and then a social media person, and then a growth hacking agency, and 12 other people that are all coming up with strategies. And bigger companies are doing this, but the mid-sized and smaller companies, I think they're getting lost in the shuffle. It's so overwhelming.
Some are doing it well. Yeah.
So overwhelming that they don't know where to go. Or they find one thing that works and they'll stick with that. I'm going to do an email campaign. I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to do a video series. I'm going to be on TikTok. And you never know which platform is for you.
Right. That's
depends on your audience, your personality, what you're selling. I'll give you a classic example. We had somebody in a while ago, and she's a young dentist. Just a family dentist, and she has 3 or 4 offices here in Orange County. She went on TikTok, and somebody said TikTok, and she dresses up. She's trying to get kids to come to the dentist. That's not something they want to do. She dresses up as a tooth, literally.
Yes, I've seen her channel. I've seen
her. Oh my God! And whatever she calls herself, Dr. Tooth or something.
So cute.
And people come from all over now, and they say my kids won't go to the dentist, but they'll go see Dr. Tooth or whatever. I don't know whatever her name is.
And
she has big and silly stuff. So once a week she had to buy the equipment, learn to do it, somebody in her staff, and then once a week she dedicates it and found out she's pretty funny and clever and got a good screen presence. And she just has to come up with these ideas, and she can't do it once. She's got to do it all the time. So it becomes she has to build that into her weekly, daily routine. And I don't think people are prepared to do that. Do you ever have clients that just say, oh, I can't do all that? That you want me to do what?
I hear it all the time. Like, I'll try Instagram. I'm comfortable with at least just trying, Alicia, but I'm not touching TikTok, right? And we're not going to endorse any platform. The platform that you're on depends on your clientele, so we need to figure out who you're talking
about. And you, maybe you're real good at being an actor or actress, or maybe you're lousy at that. Maybe you're good at talking and you should do a podcast, or maybe you're lousy at talking.
Right,
maybe you're better at writing stuff, you know, whatever it is.
I think when people get started, though, they think... oh, work. And they don't realize how much fun it is. And that's the name of the game when it comes to social media. People want you to have fun. If you're too stiff and corporate, no one's watching you on social media. But if you actually let your hair down, relax, have fun,
that's what we were trying to tell you, Alicia. You want it all figured out. We're just talking here. That's it. We're just having a good time.
Yeah, dress up like a tooth. You're going to do so well. So I don't know if people are afraid to have fun, but...
So do you have a marketing costume? Do you dress up as a, I don't know, what could it be? Could you dress up as a TikTok logo or something here? I don't know, maybe not.
I don't know. I think even just having more of your personality show.
I think that's the key. Because we all want to know, do I like this person? Do I trust this person?
Right.
Do I believe this person? Do I want to do business with this person?
Do I want to... go grab a drink with this person.
Right.
Do I want to be friends with this person?
Yeah. The famous Simon Sinek, who built a whole empire off of this one TED Talk he gave years ago, has turned it into books and everything. Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K. Go look it up if you haven't already seen him. And it's all about, don't tell me what you do till you tell me why. Mm. I want to ride along in a passion. I want to be part of a movement. I want to change the world, particularly younger people. I don't want to just buy the cheapest product on the block. Maybe I do, but probably not. That's not too exciting to me. I want to become passionate. I want to understand your passion and purpose. And I want to see if it aligns with my passion and purpose here. You know, are we just trading goods and services like in the old way? Oh, what do you care? I do this. You want it? I got 3 versions. It used to be just features and benefits and price. I got the best price or I got the best features and benefits. Now they're like, maybe, but tell me who you are. Why do you do this?
Right.
That's why we're talking to you. So who do you are and why do you do this? You seem passionate and interested about this whole world of this confusing conundrum. There's a big word, this chaos, this constant, and I got to do it, and I got to do everything, and I got to do it all well, and I got to do it constantly. I can't just quit, and I got to do everything. And oh my God, Alicia, I'm making shoes. I don't have time to do this.
Why do I? I love helping people. Well, I love telling stories as well, and I love helping people. So I'm really good at someone telling me their needs or their problems or business problems that they're facing and translating it for them. Because sometimes clients will come to me and say, hey, I need help with SEO. And I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. I'm going to listen to see if they really need help with SEO.
Right.
So if they tell me, hey, this, I'm like, okay, yes, SEO. But they're telling me this, I'm like, oh no, you have a lead gen issue. It's not SEO.
Right.
It's not just changing some messaging on your
website. Or a closing issue. You might be generating enough leads. You're just not closing them.
More leads coming in. Exactly. Yeah. To close the sale. So let's figure out a campaign around that. And they're like, oh yes, that is what I need. So I've noticed that about myself, being able to translate people, whatever, from all walks of life, and tell them or communicate to other people their needs and communicate to their customers why they should buy. But I really enjoy helping people just tell their stories, communicate, and put their best foot forward and be heard and seen. I really, really receive joy from that.
So Alicia, though, you have a secret card up your sleeve, a hidden card, a trick that you have that others can't do. You can see the future. You can predict the future because we all live in a world where everybody's got a side hustle. Everybody's got a fun little thing they do on the side. You don't just do marketing. Talk about the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. All the people in the network that I've met, nobody does what you do. You have a side gig for fun, maybe for not more than fun, where you read tarot cards.
I am a professional tarot card reader. Yes, that is correct.
So I'm going to you because you know the future. You just flip the cards out. And you can tell me if this will work or not, right?
I do not do readings during the
That's what I was hoping for. Okay, I might read the tea leaves. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Is this going to work or not going to work? I don't know. I see dark paths in your future here.
No, I do not do that. You know, and I also don't like bring in my own stuff. But I will say...
I know this is just a crazy thing, but...
Yeah, you know. I definitely don't. No, I
would mix the two, right?
But there are times where I'll get an inkling, but I won't like pressure the client or anything, where I'll say, you know, are you sure you want to do the website launch right now?
Or I'm getting a feeling here. This is the right show.
Or I have a feeling that this client is going through something, even though they haven't shown up. I feel like we should call them one more time. And sure enough, the client had experienced like a break-in and everything.
But see, we don't trust that anymore. We're laughing about tarot cards or whatever, but it comes down to intuition.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get an intuition. This is going to work. This may not work. I'm not sure this is the right path. I really believe in this. Now, old school marketing, 20s, 30s, 40s. I came out of the entertainment industry. The famous Harry Cohn, who owned, I think, Columbia Studios, was famous for all these guys were big, rough, tough guys that come out of the garment business or something, you know, or they came out of some little penny arcades. And so they all kind of fought their way up and turned them into these big movie studios here. They're all known to be real rough, the Warner Brothers and all these guys, real rough, tough, gruff guys. And Harry Cohn supposedly used to say in the middle of a movie, they'd have all this testing and they'd tried all the different endings. They've done audience surveys. He says, didn't pass the butt test. And they say, what's the butt test? And he said, my butt started itching halfway through here. If my butt starts itching, this is a bad movie. This is too long. And you can't say, Harry, that's not very sound. We've got 47 facts.
Whatever works, I guess.
But it was that gut level I forgot the young whiz kid that turned Fox Studios into, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. He died young. And he was a whiz kid. And he just had a golden gut. This golden gut, they would trust that I could run all the surveys in the world, they could do all the thinking they want, but that golden gut is what told them this is going to work or this isn't going to work here. So yeah, we're back to some of that. You know, after 1,000, yes, we got a million scientific tools. Yes, we want to be precise. We want to A/B testing and we're going to try all this stuff. But at the end of the day, you got to have some instincts, maybe some experience, and certainly some instincts about you, about your client, about what your message is. So maybe a little tarot cards isn't so crazy. I don't know. Maybe that shows you got a little instinct for things or something. I don't know. Whatever it is, it seems to work because your clients seem to love what you're doing. How do people reach you if they want to reach out and say, Alicia, you're the one for me. Help me figure out my marketing, my digital marketing, my growth hacking. Help me to hack into this system with no money and start a buzz. How do they reach you?
So they can contact the SBDC Marketing Center, and we all have our individual calendars. what is mine? Calendly.com/Alicia, ALICIA-SBDC, I think is mine.
Okay. So they call the SBDC, Small Business Development Center. Go look that up. We're talking about the local version of the Orange County Inland Empire version, which is a pretty large group. I forgot how many centers there are, 6 or 8, and different specialty centers so and stuff.
I always tell everyone about the SBDC. I'm like, if you're a business owner, it's no cost to you.
That's what's amazing.
There's so many resources available to you. Please take advantage.
And just to be clear, in the Digital Marketing Center, you're there to help kickstart, to guide them, to direct them, not there to be a free agency forever and to, we'll run your social media. Just hand it to us. We'll run your digital ads.
Yeah, that's just correct. Hand. We can't execute. We can teach you how to fish, but we can't exactly, you know.
Pull the fish in for you and fry them up here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's more important than anything, because if you point me in the direction, I can do it. But I don't even know. I think people hit a quick wall. They don't even know where to go next. It's so overwhelming. It's so confusing. They freeze. They stop. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's this. I don't know how to do any of that. I don't know what the value is. I don't know what. I wish we could go back to the days. I hear it over and over again. When I was younger, you ran an ad in the Yellow Pages, and the biggest one generated the most leads. And then it sat there. You designed it well, and then you never thought about it. And the rest of the year, people looked you up and called you. How'd you see me? I saw you in the Yellow Pages. And that was a pretty easy campaign to run. Those days are gone. You can't just do once and done, set it and forget it, and hope that people are going to find you, whether it's your website, whether it's your social media, whether it's your content marketing campaigns, all the different content you're creating. You've got to be active. You've got to be nimble. You've got to be consistent, persistent. You've got to keep doing it. And that's when people freeze and quit and say, I need some help. That's where Alicia comes in. She can help you. She's got a feeling for these things here. Okay.
Give you hope. Keep going.
All right. Thank you so much, Alicia Brayboy.
Thank you.
You really, you epitomize this new world here. It's very creative. It's very, part of it's voodoo, part of it's science. I don't know. It's art. It's science. It's a little bit of everything.
And so that sounds like my world. Yeah.
Yeah, it all somehow fits together. And more than anything, you need somebody, a coach, to help you through it, because otherwise you're going to quickly get lost in the chaos and the millions of platforms and millions of ideas. And that notion that it isn't immediate payoff and all this stuff.
Yes.
I'm going to put this ad up tomorrow and the phone's going to ring on Google or Facebook or whatever here. It's a campaign. It takes a while, and then you got to evaluate it and adjust it, and then how does it coordinate with all the other things you're doing to get search engine up and to get your message out and your social media following built and your content campaigns in place. All that is a coordinated mixture of things, and you're like the symphony conductor that has to figure out how those pieces to go together so it's a harmonious sound and not chaos.
But the good news is, yes, it's a slow buildup, but once you have them nurtured, ready to go, you have a loyal following.
And it goes forever then. Yeah, then it's just a maintenance
thing.
And
then they refer you, they're sharing.
They're telling the world, hey, you got to go. They're promoting you on their social media. They're giving you reviews, sending you leads, all that kind of stuff. They're passionate, what do they call them? Passionate brand advocates. Yeah, there's all these buzzwords for it. They're your brand advocate. They're not getting paid, but they're out telling the world about you here. All right. Well, we're telling the world about you. Alicia Brayboy. Spell it one more time. B-R-A-Y-B-O-W. Alicia Brayboy.
Brayboy.
What did I say?
B-R-A-Y-B-O-Y.
There you go. Okay. Brayboy. That's how we spelled it again here. All right. Thanks so much for joining us here in Profit Talks podcast. As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.